time now for Outsiders. I'm Barry Cassidy and you're not.
Quite so. This morning's guests, Ian Hankey, he's a former Howard government advisor. He now runs a political consultancy. Fatima Meesham is a columnist, a consulting editor with Eureka Street. Jack Waterford is a legend of journalism and a commentator. Good morning to you all.
Good morning. How are you?
Now, I've been attempting to find the words to define, to encapsulate, to bring to life this past work in politics. And now I have bowed to a better man than I. Where better to turn than the encyclopedic expressive capacity of the thick of its Malcolm Tucker?
Jesus Christ, see you are a f***ing only shambles, that's what you are. You're like that coffee machine, you know, from bean to cup, you f*** up.
This is greatly abused, Ian Hankey. I wonder, Ian, if words of that variety might have been heard in the Prime Minister's office during the past week.
I don't quite subscribe to Mr. Tucker's view of the week, as you might gather.
But
it is a beautiful word, a beautiful word. But no, listen, I read some of the media this week, obviously. I think we all did. And I read particularly, you know, some of the material in the Fairfax columns. And I think whilst many of the issues could have been handled better. There are some fundamental issues at play here, and I'll just very briefly touch on them. For example, with the same-sex marriage debate that was going on, the Prime Minister had to, you know, basically 70% of the coalition don't support same-sex marriage. That's basically the situation as it stands at this particular moment. The Prime Minister had to carry the party room. These people have to carry their electorates. The other point is that the coalition went to the last election with a position on same-sex marriage. What many of the commentators are actually saying to the coalition, as, and in fact braying at the coalition, is to say, change your position, break your promise, break your word.
There are precedents for that behaviour.
No. But what I'm saying is that this is where the hypocrisy creeps in. On one particular issue, say on an issue with to do with the budget, which I think is far more important than same-sex marriage as an issue, we are vilified if we break a promise because the journalists don't agree with it or the commentators don't agree with it. But they're happy for a government to break a promise in an area of policy that they agree with. You can't be. You've got to be consistent if you're going to accuse a government of something. I'm just raising those. So when you have Mr. Tucker talking about an omnishambles, and I've seen some of the commentary from the so-called analysts in the papers, they're actually not very clear. A lot of the analysis that came out this week was rooted more in personal belief and opinion rather than analysis of the actual real facts surrounding what was going on. But having said that, I do think the Prime Minister's office or Prime Minister could have handled the whole same-sex marriage thing a lot more efficiently.
What do you think, Fatima? Is the government being pushed, sort of dragooned into change, as Ian suggests, into changing its position? I mean, we have a fairly clear sense of what public sentiment is around same-sex marriage. That's not where the government wants to be or where the PM wants to be. Are they somehow compelled to make that switcheroo midterm?
I'm not really sure. I think the pattern for this government around same-sex marriage has been to put it off. Like, I remember only a couple of months ago, the Prime Minister said, you know, if there were a cross-party bill that was put forward, then, you know, we'll have a look at it. Mm. But now he's kicked that can much further down the road. So I think it's just been all sorts of strategies and tactics to actually put it off and
But nevertheless, that's the point is the both parties, in fact, went to the last election with a position. And so if you, my argument is that, you know, it's okay to break one promise if you agree with breaking that promise, but it's not okay to break other promises.
All of which probably says something for the merits of the plebiscite idea.
It is. And in fact, that's another part of the hypocrisy that shone through this week from the Labor Party, particularly Penny Wong, who was very vocal in her support of the plebiscite that happened in Ireland, and was most vocal in support, saying what a great thing, and I think it is. But when the government proposes a plebiscite, I should say, I'm going to be in more trouble than Ned Kelly.
Jack Waterford, would you like to save Ian Heggie from himself?
I tend to agree with Ian Heggie, except for one thing. A plebiscite, I think, is a I think a plebiscite is a fabulous idea, and so I don't see why we can't hold one about a month from now. The problem with the government's position is that it's transparently seeking delay, seeking to have the issue avoided. Now, it is quite true that there are a proportion of people in the population, on the opinion polls it's an ever-declining one, but who are opposed to same-sex marriage. But if politicians want to get off the hook about letting the thing go through, then the idea of turning it over to the people is not repugnant in the least bit. No. I don't think it's repugnant in principle, or given that it's, if you like, not in the direct zone of politics but in the area of moral choices or something, if it is, then plebiscites can solve it.
Isn't there an interesting aspect to that, Jack? I mean, setting the issue itself aside slightly, I mean, it's almost a defining piece of politics for this government, a thing that could be a great positive for it externally, but the internal politics of the party and the coalition demand that the PM take a harder conservative line. He's really caught between those two things.
Jonathan, I think that that's the problem. Right at the moment, the Prime Minister is focused on his own immediate survival. He's not even focused on winning an election at some time next year. He's focused on maintaining the support of probably 60% of the backbench of the party. And that is sending him in all sorts of erratic directions and making him, you know, seesawed between positions. One of the other things about the marriage thing, of course, is that the issue has been around for ages, and the idea that there was something imminent and a decision having to be made last week has been around for at least four or five months.
We knew it would come to that head. I mean, Ian, you're not on board with that point about internal survival.
I mean, No. The backbenchers do represent their electorates or what they believe is going on in their electorates. There's no two ways about it. About 70% of them would appear not to support gay marriage. And so they have a responsibility and a duty to actually articulate that position if that's what they believe.
Reflecting their electorates, not their personal position.
Exactly. And I think that's right. And some of them will have a personal position. Mm. And it's much the same in the Labor Party as well, I might
add. Of course, yes.
And there is an irony, despite all the sound and fury about this. I suspect even if there was a free vote held at the moment, I don't think it would pass Parliament.
That may well be the case.
Yeah, that's my guess.
I think there are problems with the plebiscite, though, and I know you know, Johnson was saying before that if it was just a yes or no, then it's straightforward, then we'll be over and done with. But the thing is, one, we've got a highly disengaged electorate. Like, I think there was a poll a while back where, the don't know and somebody else would probably win the election if they ran, today. So it's a disengaged electorate. I'm not sure that dragging them to a plebiscite is going to be particularly good for the government. The other part of that is that the electorate's constantly being told that the budget is tight and that they should just bear the pain of all these funding cuts, and yet now we're talking about throwing millions of dollars into a plebiscite when the polls already say the majority of Australians actually support same-sex marriage.
Well,
whatever happened to representative democracy? Are we going to put every issue to a plebiscite?
No, of course not. But with some major social issues, there is a degree of divide within the community. I personally don't see any difficulty with having a plebiscite on it. I think
it would leave us in no doubt. We can quibble on the polls, or whatever.
But I think a plebiscite is a good way to go with this particular social issue.
Who gets to decide the question, though?
Oh, the Parliament will decide that.
And I think that question it needs to be very neutral.
Exactly.
It needs to be very simple.
I agree with you 100%. But I think I don't think
that's Tony Abbott's strategy.
I suspect it's a complicated question.
Well, we are yet to see, so I'm not going to prejudge something.
Outsiders here on Sunday Extra, Ian Heckey, Fatima Misham and Jack Waterford. I mean, the interesting thing, Jack, was at the beginning of the week, and it was a self-created, from the point of view of the government, blip in the news cycle, which eclipsed their messaging on climate change targets. And then we rolled seamlessly out of same-sex marriage and a bit of negative press around climate change into a series of other overlapping issues that really marked the week. This is the thing for the government, isn't it? They struggle to actually get their snorkel above the water and make some constructive noise of their own design.
The thing that I've noticed is, you were talking to Jack.
Well, no, but you know.
Well, I'll pick it up very quickly. The thing is that the government is no longer very much in charge of events. And it's not because it's been drowned out of the chorus. It is because it itself is prosecuting very little by way of a substantial agenda. It's throwing up a few positions and so forth to see how they're operating, but it is not really doing very much in the way of governing.
And as we saw with Syria, notably this week, it was thrown out by a humble backbencher.
Do you subscribe to the Sally Young view of a good government as judged by just on the volume of legislation it passes, Jack?
Because not entirely.
I actually don't think that's a particularly good measure of good or effective government myself.
No, Ian, you may well be right about that, but the idea that the government is purposeful, being seen to do something and being seen to go in a general direction, which has been constantly communicated and reinforced to both your own party, to the parliament at large and to the nation at large, this is where the government is falling down at the moment.
What I find interesting too is a number of not just backbenchers but front benchers who are speaking to media now, and you know, some of the stashes are public, and I find it interesting because, you know, there used to be this mystical liberal thing around the code of omerta, you know, like they sought to distinguish themselves from Labour by being disciplined. But now, and you know, the adage loose lips sink ships. It seems now that sinking ships loosen lips.
But just quickly, there's a huge degree of hyperbole going around at this moment, this particular week, and I'll just point to one particular columnist from our esteemed business paper, the AFR.
I know where this is going.
And it is by Laura Tingle. And I was a little gobsmacked to read that she actually said this government is actually now akin to the Whitlam government. Now, all right, let's just say journalists are allowed a little latitude. But that sort of hyperbole is just nonsense. And that reflects a lot of what the general discussion has been about amongst the so-called commentariat and the so-called analysts.
Quick final nonsense. Point, Jack, because you've seen both.
Well, I've saw the Whitlam government in operation. Look, the Whitlam government was at times an incredible shambles. It was not going anywhere particularly fast or in any particular direction. But it was at least trying to do something. yes, absolutely. It was at least trying to do something, as to a degree were also shambles the Rudd and Gillard governments. They fell down very badly in the efforts to get somewhere. The problem with Abbott at the moment, it more reminds me actually of Billy McMahon's government, that it's foundering around going in no particular direction with no particular idea of where it even wants to be.
We have to... Jack is becoming in and out. Jack, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. We'll try and call you from another location. But sadly, though, that is where we need to leave our conversation. Time is a Guinness. Thank you, Omni Shamblers all, Ian Hankey, Fatima Meesham, and Jack Waterford.
Thank you very much. Good fun.
Omni Shambles, word of the week. It's 5 minutes to 10.